Daily Info's Oxcast. It is the 11th of September. We have got an entire week's worth of amazing, fascinating, thrilling events for you to go to listen to watch. I'm Alwyn Collinson.
I'm Anna Higgins.
And this is the Oxcast.
Alwyn, start us off.
Thank you very much. We have got an astonishing run of theatre, which is on this week at the Oxford Playhouse. Now, this one is a must for fans of Shakespeare, or indeed, if you are a fan of more generally brilliantly performed pieces of theatre.
This one or this three, should you say?
Well, you've ruined my next line, because I was going to say, it's not one, not two, but three different plays, all put on by London's Globe Theatre, and it's another brilliant production. It is actually three parts of the same play, sort of, kind of.
You can watch them alone, but you can also watch them all together and
exactly.
Have a good time.
I only ever go to the theatre alone, personally. I don't have friends to go along with. Henry VI, parts 1, 2, and 3. It's some of Shakespeare's earliest work and his only trilogy, and it tells the story of the War of the Roses, a civil war that ripped England apart.
And if you've been watching The White Queen recently, you can probably go and get a different take on history.
Exactly.
At the theatre this week.
I like the sublight we've got going on. It's like highbrow, lowbrow. I'll leave listeners to work out which one was which. This is lots of sword fights. There's going to be idiot kings. There's going to be treacherous queens. There's going to be pretenders to the throne and lots of death. It's all quite Game of Thrones,
actually. They're
marketing
it very much as a sort of theatrical Game of Thrones equivalent.
Yeah, it's not sort of, you know, they're not dressed up as though it's, you know, 1930s Italy or sort of, you know, the 1960s and they're all wearing miniskirts. No, it's all very leather, sword fights, crowns, very, very old-fashioned, very cool. You can see all three productions, they do have different names, but I'm not going to list them all, for just £51, which may sound like a lot, but for three nights of the Globe.
I was going to say, that's probably, you know, coming up to 7 hours, if not more, of entertainment.
Exactly, yeah. Where else can you get that kind of rate? Well, with Daily Info's Oxcast, it's free! or, as the Globe are practically tripping over themselves to tell you, every play can be enjoyed separately. Because according to them, Shakespeare didn't know he was writing a trilogy. Sounds a bit disrespectful, doesn't it?
What a fool he was, the Bard.
I know, exactly. Still, they are the Globe. Presumably they think they can badmouth the Bard.
And they did bring us The Taming of the Shrew earlier this summer, so if you enjoyed that, it's going to be similar quality.
Absolutely. Well, to be honest, it is always amazing quality,
isn't it? It's always good.
Anyway, that's on from Wednesday to Saturday this week. There's lots of weird performance times, so check out the times and the dates on dailyinfo.co.uk.
Moving out of the city towards Abingdon, starting tonight until Saturday, there is The Nightingales at the Unicorn Theatre.
What is The Nightingales?
It's a play being staged by a local amateur dramatics group called Break a Leg Productions.
Aha.
It's a Noel Coward-esque kind of play,
okay.
Set in the 1950s, and it's about a theatrical family who kind of perform more at home than they do on stage. So a cabaret pianist has his parents visiting for the weekend, and madness ensues.
Lovely.
So you can expect very lovable characters and lots of witty one-liners. And Break a Leg Productions are, in fact, an award-winning drama group, and they've done loads of festivals. They've got plenty of awards, and they've got really good production values. If you look at their photos from previous shows, they've got quite a sophisticated set and costume.
What you're basically desperately trying to say is don't hear the word amateur dramatics, hear the word play, you know.
Yes, no, they look really good. I think you can expect a really good standard of acting, directing, and design.
Brilliant.
And that is in The Nightingales at the Unicorn Theatre in Abingdon. It's Wednesday to Saturday at 7:30 p.m. this week.
Anyway, I've got some theatre as well, actually. It's all theatre all the time here on Oxcast.
Lots more theatre coming back.
It's not
now.
Really all theatre all the time here on Oxcast. We will be moving on to other things. Yes, that's a good point. Yeah. God, these bloody theatricals spending all their time swanning off, you know.
Off to Edinburgh.
Off to Edinburgh.
They've come back to us. How kind.
Exactly. Deigning to visit us. Anyway, the new piece of theatre is called Spare Prick. It is Anais's eyebrows advance into her hairline there. Maybe it's referring to the sort of prick you might have upon your finger.
When you cut yourself with your needle doing your embroidery.
Yeah, or indeed when you grow a phallic organ upon your hand. It's a bawdy comedy. It explores couples, sex and relationships and what it feels like to be left out.
It's not for children, I've heard.
No, apparently it is not the sort of thing you take your kids to. Although they do say you could take your granny to it. You could take my granny to it. She's game for anything, I tell you that much. Anyway, being the spare prick is being the odd one out. It's being the third wheel. It's being the gooseberry. And we've all felt that at one time or another. I'm sure you have quite a lot. apparently, last time they performed this play, they got a letter of complaint about the name. They hadn't actually seen the show. They were just so offended by the name. So yeah, go along to the old fire station Thursday or Friday this week and you'll have much firmer grounds of complaint. but you probably won't, because it's probably great.
It's going to be funny anyway.
Exactly.
Now moving on to something that isn't theatre. There's a documentary coming out which is exploring the world impact of hip-hop music and hip-hop culture. Mm. And it's premiering at several different venues across the world, but also at the Pitt Rivers Museum this Thursday.
Obviously one of the great cinematic...
Exactly, I know,
you know,
yeah.
It's centres of the
Berlin
world.
Berlin and Oxford's Pitt Rivers Museum.
Exactly.
So Hip-Hop, the New World Order examines how hip-hop's a vehicle for youth self-expression and examines the worldwide impact it's had on education, politics, entertainment and media.
Wow, that's a pretty...
It's pretty big, yeah. There's not really anything else kind of in terms of like feature-long film quite like this. And it was shot in 8 cities over 4 years. And it features loads of archive footage, which you wouldn't really find elsewhere. And also includes lots of interviews with pioneers of the hip-hop movement and kind of modern-day artists as well.
Brilliant.
So really interesting. Whether or not you're interested in the kind of music, it's just the kind of the cultural phenomenon which you can't really avoid.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
So worth knowing a bit more about.
I was a little bird told me that in fact you were forced into doing some hip hop as part of your university course.
I did. I did a hip hop module, which I think goes against what hip hop is, because it was a load of white middle class students being told to do hip hop when in fact hip hop's like a grassroots movement. So it was completely defunct. But I did rap in French.
It's okay. I'll take you back to the streets now. Okay, Anaïs, 1, 2, 3.
I'm not going
we're
going to
go
now. No, because you can't beatbox. I need good support. I'm a diva. I'm
a proper
diva when
it comes
to my hip-hop
art. You can't work under these conditions.
And as well as the film screening, selected galleries will be open at the Pitt Rivers from 6 till 8. The film is on, this is Thursday, from 7 till 9:30. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, there's a discussion with the film's director and an ethnomusicologist from Pitt Rivers.
An ethnomusicologist. Mm. Another of those jobs that I never knew existed, and yet now I wish I had.
Yeah, it sounds excellent.
Brilliant.
So a real full evening of entertainment at the Pitt Rivers, which won't include me rapping. It is completely free, but you do have to register. And if you go to the event on our website, dailyinfo.co.uk, you can find a link which with you register.
I might head along to that. I grew up on the streets. Well,
of Surrey.
I grew up on a street. I come from South London, bruv.
Surrey.
No, South London, Clapham. That's South London.
Guildford.
No, South London. It was being heavily gentrified at the time. Moving on. We've got some more music, one that I can claim to have a slightly more... maybe a connection to. It's a gig on Friday night. It's at the O2 Academy, and it is Baby Shambles.
Are they called the Baby Shambles or just Baby Shambles?
I think they're called Baby Shambles.
Shambles.
Yeah.
Cool.
But anyway, whatever they're called, to be honest, it's probably
they're
the name
basically
is...
the Libertines, but not the Libertines.
Yeah, they're the Libertines after Pete Doherty got kicked out of the Libertines. And so they are probably well known as indie rockers featuring a great array of Brit rock talent. They're better known as the band that have now sacked Pete Doherty, who is their frontman, 4 times.
But he's coming back. He is still
here. Oh, he's still in it. Yeah, of course. Well, you hope so.
Yeah,
anyway.
I can't quite keep track.
Yeah, this is their first UK tour since 2010. It's promoting their new album, which is called Sequel to the Prequel. Sort of, you can sort of see what they did there. Pete Doherty will presumably be performing if he's...
Off his face.
I think that goes without saying, really. In all fairness, their new album is being hailed as a return to form. You know, the non-coke and heroin-fueled form. Doors open at 7 p.m. Although, having said that, at their opening of the tour gig last week, they did arrive 90 minutes late for their set. So I wouldn't
rush. Off your face by the time they start then.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's clearly what they want.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether Baby Shambles has a the in front of it, because it's normally just pronounced slurred.
Tactical tardiness.
Exactly. So go and see... Doors open at 7, it's the O2 Academy on Friday.
Moving on to the weekend, there is a birthday. The Didcot Cornerstones Art Centre turns 5 this weekend.
I thought you were about to like promote your birthday.
It's not my birthday. I think we should do a little quick song though. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Cornerstone Art Centre. Happy birthday to you.
So they are kicking off their celebrations with a gala show featuring 20s jive jazz musician Alice Francis, who is amazing.
I like it already.
There's also electro swing dancers, full-on 20s flapper costumes, glass of fizz and slice of birthday cake, when you go in, and it's only £15.
Well,
that is a good birthday party.
Yeah, absolutely.
The next day, the Cornerstone are hosting a free mini birthday festival, and there's going to be a treasure hunt, messy arts and crafts, and my favourite, a 25-minute solo performance in a loo. Prepare yourself to see the loo in a whole new light. I knew you would love this, Alwyn.
Is this because you people who ate the birthday cake the day before and it wasn't quite right, and it's kind of a 25-minute solo performance?
Possibly. Who knows? So yeah, I'm sure you can make lots of dirty jokes. And to end the day off at the Cornerstone, there will also be a cabaret and some Motown and swing DJs. So it's a hugely eventful day and a really special one for the really good Oxfordshire Arts Centre. So if you've never been, this is the perfect day to go along, get to know the building and the people and the kind of work they produce. So from Friday, it's 6 p.m. till late and £15. That does include champagne and cake. And Saturday, it's 10 a.m. to midnight, completely free.
Brilliant. Well, of course, those details will be on our website,
dailyinfo.co.uk.
Along with all the details of anything else that we've been mentioning in this podcast, or indeed haven't mentioned. We've got, for example, every cinema listing in Oxford up there.
And loads of yoga.
Yeah, tons of bloody yoga.
Tons of yoga.
Yeah, and also, of course, other things as well.
You can find a job, and you can also find somewhere to live if you are jobless or homeless.
I know that we mention this every week, and you might think that we're kind of getting at you listeners in implying that you are unemployed, like sleeping on the streets, but honestly, it's just to say that if you don't like your current job or house, you could potentially
there
move.
Are things out there.
Exactly.
There
you don't have to suffer.
Efficiency.
Let us help you. Alwyn and Anais together. Moving on, let's talk about something else you could do. Although I think you probably couldn't go along to this event if you were homeless or jobless.
Why?
Well, it's quite highfalutin, you see. It's the Blenheim Horse Trials.
Oh, indeed.
Yes, well, we have to lift our little pinky fingers from our scripts in order to describe this one here. There's an equestrian celebration. It's 4 days of racing, jumping and dressage, better known as horse dancing.
Horse disco.
To oafs like you and me. Horse disco. Trust you to find the level below the level. The dressage is on Thursday and Friday. There's 2 days of show jumping, slightly more exciting, I'll be honest, on Saturday and Sunday, and a thrilling cross-country race, which is going to go across a difficult course, including dramatic water features across the River Glyme. Did you know there was a River Glyme in Blenheim?
River Glyme? No, yeah. In the pleasure gardens.
Yeah, one presumes, yeah.
Wow.
But this time it won't be pleasure, it'll be white-knuckle equestrian racing action. There's also going to be a show pony club event. There's going to be equine displays.
I was going to say, is there like a petting place? Can we pet some ponies?
Yeah, probably. But probably not while they're doing the cross-country race. That's
no,
a bad idea.
No.
I wouldn't advise that one. There's going to be vintage car displays, as there always are at Blenheim. There's going to be food and drink. And basically too many events for me to read out, because frankly, it would leave me hoarse.
Nice.
Thanks. I've worked on that one for
a
while.
I like it when you end on a pun.
Yeah. Well, because it means that you can cut it out more easily in post-production. Moving on.
On Saturday, there is another party. Not a birthday party, but a good cause. In Blackwell's Bookshop. It's a Books Are My Bag party. Books Are My Bag is a nationwide bookshop party campaign. Why are you laughing at this?
I'm sorry, all I can see is Austin Powers going, "This really is my bag, baby."
Well, hopefully there'll be lots of people saying that on the day. Mm. You do get a free bag if you go along saying
Wonderful.
Books Are My Bag. So
which
you then
can
do
to
your
fill
best,
with books.
Austin and Powers impression, yes. So the aim of the campaign is to celebrate local bookshops. Hmm. And it's come about from a collaboration between authors and publishers and bookshops, because obviously evil Amazon and online selling is, you know, threatening them. And they are really important.
Damn
and
them.
Special places.
Yeah.
So in Blackwell's this Saturday, as well as having loads of books for sale, which would be the main reason you'd go, there's also a book quiz. You can redesign your favourite book covers, take part in a treasure hunt.
What we'd like. Highlighters which you scribble on.
Well, I'd imagine, you know, you can pick a title and then redesign, and they'll have all the materials needed. You can also look at their visitors' books for all the historical fans who've come about, lots and lots of famous people have been in and written, or you can just write in a visitors' book yourself saying why bookshops matter to you.
And then in the future, you will be the historical person they went, Anais Higgins visited here. Well, yeah, they won't be saying that, let's be honest. But anyway.
There's also the promise of cupcakes and lollipops if free stuff, as long with your free bag.
Only the promise, not the actual cupcakes and lollipops.
Well, it's more just the fact that I'm sure if you go by 5 o'clock, they might have run out. So,
I see, okay.
You know, got to manage expectations
Good
for the
selection.
Listeners here.
Yeah.
So basically, if you want to go shopping and buy some books on a Saturday, Blackwell's is the place to do it, because there's loads of stuff going on and I'm sure there'll be a fantastic atmosphere.
Brilliant. Well, that sounds really good. And after you've had a really pleasant, exciting, wonderful day, you might feel you need a little bit of calming down, a little bit, in fact, of making you miserable. So there is some lovely music in a lovely venue this Saturday. It's Benjamin Britten's In Memoriam. which is going to be performed sorrowfully.
Hedge the Miserable. I was thinking, you're not selling this album. No, I briefed you on this.
Gorgeous music. And it's performed by Oxford Sinfonia Orchestra. The whole evening, actually, is like this. It's all a bit mournful. They've got Elgar's Sospiri, which means sighs, obviously. And two pieces of music, individually named Lacrimae, which means...
Tears.
Yeah, I can see you skipped your
classical
education.
I skipped Latin.
You did the hip hop instead of the Latin. Good choice.
Double P instead of Latin.
This is all taking place in the beautiful but rather imposing atmosphere of St. Mary Magdalene Church on the High Street, which is a bloody gorgeous venue. But you'll be weeping into your hymn book by the time it's over, hopefully. Although in a kind of joyful way, you know, your spirit will be moved by the beautiful music.
Sad to have lost a music great.
Exactly. Yeah, but that's at 8:30 p.m.
Well. Very solemn note.
Yes, indeed. I thought I'd make it difficult for you to transition.
Well, I'm still in a party mood.
I can never bring you down, no matter how hard I try.
Each year, the Oxford Preservation Trust organises Oxford Open Doors, which is a kind of...
Doors!
Cross-city festival. It's not called a festival, but I'm calling it one. It's a weekend, and you can go into all these building and spaces which you wouldn't normally be allowed in. So you can go in with your muddy shoes and your sticky fingers.
Speak
and go
for yourself.
And have a snoop about.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I actually do love this. It's such a beautiful idea. I mean, they do it in other cities as well, but like the Oxford Open Doors has been going on for a few years. I think it's almost essential in a city like Oxford because, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen, for example, a photograph of Oxford from the air, particularly the Oxford City Centre from the air, but it is basically just, it looks like a sea of green. And then you realise those are all of the college quads, all of like the areas outside libraries, all the sort of things that we can't see, that are locked away behind these doors. And either you have to go along and butter up a lodge keeper, as I'm sure you're very practiced at.
I was going to say, well, Alwyn,
yeah, I know.
What tips do you have to share?
tuck a bottle of Pimm's under the arm and just sort of walk in looking sort of magisterial. They won't stop you. But either you have to do that or you have to pay some of them. Many of them are tourist attractions, like Magdalene College, you know, beautiful, gorgeous city centre. Can't go in most of the time, but now you can.
Dun, dun, dun. So as well as going into buildings, there's also loads of guided walks and tours around the city. And also, you don't just get to go into the really historic old buildings, there's also lots of new buildings which are of interest. So for example, the Pegasus Theatre, which got renovated a few years ago, and has a really interesting ethos behind the whole renovation as a community art space, really worth going to find out about. But also the new Islamic Studies Centre,
which
is a fantastic new building, really, really dominant. Every time I pass it, I find it really great.
Still not finished.
I think it's nearly there, but it's a blending. It blends traditional kind of Oxford College architecture with also classical Islamic architecture.
That's really beautiful.
And which is obviously very fitting for its use. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a sneak peek into what is, we think, not yet open, but going to be really interesting building.
Yeah. This year there are two themes, the Nuffield Legacy, which celebrates many beautiful buildings and museum collections left by Lord Nuffield, and Oxford Design Excellence, which is celebrating Oxford's finest architectural masterpieces. But obviously you can find out full listings about this on their website.
And find out more through the Oxford Preservation Trust as well. Moving on to Monday now, I think, Alwyn, you might have some more... Theatre.
I do, because just can't get enough theatre this week. Now, all the events we've mentioned so far sound, frankly, lovely and fluffy, so I've got something sinister and unsettling to prepare you for the working week. On Monday or Tuesday, you can head to the Burton Taylor Studio to see Diary of a Madman, where Anaïs has finally catalogued of her... No. It's an adaptation of Nikolai Gogol's classic short story. It's about lowly civil servant Poprishchin, who falls in love with his boss's daughter. But not all love stories end happily. This is definitely the kind of play that entices me to do my silly sinister voice.
Yes.
The company, Stepping Out Theatre, have been taking this production on tour around the UK, including to secure psychiatric wards, day centres for the mentally ill, and to drug hostels.
That's because the company are a specialist theatre company that produce work about or for people with mental health issues. That's not by coincidence.
I see.
Not because it's to do with manners. It's the company that since, I think, 1997, they make theatre, and I think their kind of charitable, you know, niche is dealing with mental illness.
Brilliant. So
hence the psychiatric wards.
So it'll be a brilliantly done piece of madman theatre. Mad person theatre. Mentally ill person theatre.
Oh God, just stop it. Just stop it. Okay, I'm going to cut you off now before you can say anything more politically incorrect. On Monday, also something a bit lighter, there is bingo at the East Oxford Community Centre. They started a weekly bingo night from Mondays. It starts at 7:30. It's only £1 to get in, and then there's a ticket raffle tickets for £1, so you may as well. and the bar's open too. So it's very simple fun, not much to it. So I thought I'd quiz Alwyn on bingo.
Oh, God.
Alwyn.
I thought I'd escaped these.
We haven't done a quiz in a while.
No, for good reason.
Right,
yes.
Let's keep it short. So when was the first bingo game played?
It's probably going to be in like the 16th century.
Oh, good. The game of bingo can be traced back to an Italian game played in Italy in the 1530s.
Get in!
I'm going to give you a point. Okay, what was the original name of bingo in the US?
In the US?
Yes, it had a different name originally.
Something like, I don't know, Hickory Stickly.
No, it was called Beano because it was played and people would put beans on their cards.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And finally, how many millions of dollars are spent on bingo each week in America alone?
In America alone. And is this counting online bingo as well? Because I understand that's a big thing.
I'm not sure, but just say a number.
Okay, I'm going to go for 200 million.
Too much. 90 million.
Oh.
But that's just America alone. Possibly worldwide 200 million.
But
one out of three.
One out of three.
Very good. You win in the history.
I don't want this patronising. Thank you very much. Let's hear about something else. Well, good thing we're talking about patronising, isn't it? Because there is a special author's talk this week from none other than Richard Dawkins. Love him or hate him, as long as you notice him. That seems to be his motto. And he will be talking... Well, it's a good motto to have, yeah. I think. And he'll be talking about his new autobiography, An Appetite for Wonder, and the influences that made him a scientist. Both of his parents were enthusiastic naturalists, so he's clearly got biology in his genes. It's in the gorgeous Sheldonian Theatre, and there will, of course, be copies of the book to buy. So for just £5, you can hear Richard Dawkins talk about some of his favourite subjects. Scientific curiosity, evolution, atheism, and, of course...
God.
I was going to say himself, actually, but much one and the same thing, I'm sure. Once we're done slandering someone, what else is
right,
on Tuesday?
I'm going to get back to being nice. Caro Emerald is an awesome Dutch jazz singer, and she's at the New Theatre next Tuesday. She's touring promoting her second album, which was number one on the album charts when it came out in April this year, following her hugely successful first album, Deleted Scenes from the Cutting Room Floor, in case it rings any bells. She sings in English, and her music's really upbeat, and it's a kind of mix of jazz and swing and pop, quite similar to the UK singer Imelda May.
Brilliant.
If you like that kind of thing. There's no support act, but the evening is being billed as Caro Emerald and guests, special guests. So perhaps there might be some artists coming on for kind of collaborations or duets, so we'll see what happens. She's got a really great big band performing, and she sings beautifully live, and it's a really exciting gig, really exciting kind of music to have coming to the New Theatre in Oxford. So not to be missed.
That sounds amazing.
It's gonna be a good fun,
I'm going to have a difficult decision to make next Tuesday.
Oh, God.
Of course, next Wednesday it'll be easy to know what to do because I'll be listening to next week's Oxcast. This has been Daily Info's Oxcast. You can find out more about any of the events we've mentioned on dailyinfo.co.uk.
We've also got plenty of reviews of past or current events and a guide to how to live in Oxford.
Yeah. Yeah, you thought you knew how to live in Oxford just because you happened to live in Oxford, but no, you weren't doing it properly. You weren't doing it the Daily Info approved way.
You can also look at our jobs listings and look at our houses and flats to share or rent listings to find somewhere to live or to advertise if you have somewhere to live for somebody else to live in. Live.
Yes. Thanks very much indeed, Anais.
Thank you for listening.